Good morning. Welcome to the first Palmetto College Campus's Faculty Senate meeting of the 2015-2016 academic year. It is my sincere wish that this year we will all work together with a spirit of mutual respect, cooperation, and diligence. I hope that we can continue to create a positive atmosphere in this upcoming year, where we all feel free to agree or disagree, we can promote and challenge new ideas to make Palmetto College the very best it can be. Before we get started, I would like to quickly introduce, if I may, our executive committee, if they're here, our past chair, Professor Julie Fontenot, and I'm not sure she's here this morning, is she? This afternoon she will be here. We have Professor Thomas Bragg, our vice chair, over there, from Sakahatchee. We have Professor Melanie Lane from Extended University. She's our secretary this year. She is going to be your best friend, and you better treat her nicely. Our member at large this year is Professor Chris Bundrick from Lancaster. Chris, over there on the back. We also have our faculty liaison, technically not an executive committee member, but he's still very important, Professor Andy Yingst from Lancaster. Andy in the back over there. He also has agreed to serve as our archivist. I like that word, archivist. He knows everything we need to know that we forget otherwise. And finally, I've asked Professor Steve Bishop. I'm not sure that he's here this morning to be our parliamentarian. Palmetto College would not exist without the vision, the initiatives, and the support of our administrators. It is my true honor this morning to welcome our president of the University of South Carolina, Dr. Harris Bastidas.
Well, thank you, Chairperson Van Bulken, and good morning again, everyone. What a pleasure to be with you today. At the same time, we are gathered here. Pope Francis is addressing the United Nations with a relatively simple message, I believe, one that is might be viewed as too simplistic, but something like peace, hope, charity, and love. And I start with that because I think I want to deliver a fairly simple message to you today and have time for Q&A as well. But, you know, that those are the things I think that are, we often spend a lot of time on the complicated and on the challenging, and of course with bumps in the road, as we always have, whether they're funding or infrastructure or disagreement or parking even. It's important that we recognize all the time why we have chosen these careers. I try to never forget it. In fact, my favorite moments are when I'm casually strolling, often lost in space, or i.e. deep in thought. The professor would say deep in thought. The truth would be lost in space, and a student comes up to me and says, "Hey, President, how are you?" And it brings me right back to the spirit, I think, that I hope we have throughout the whole university. And it is, I think, the culture of the University of South Carolina. I never say a bad word about any other university or any other university system. Truly, there are many, many other very fine ones and many great ones. But I know what makes us great is our ability to maintain our commitment to our students, to love what we do, and to work out our challenges. So I guess, as the Beatles said, all you need is love. I think that was actually John Lennon of the Beatles, right? George probably was saying, "While my guitar gently weeps." Ringo's song was not inappropriate for today, but "You're 16, you're beautiful, and you're mine." He was probably like 45 at the time. Not a good message for USC. And Paul, who knows, was all over the place. So, Paul was dead. Yeah, Paul is dead. Exactly right. So it's Parents Weekend here in Columbia, and we start another brilliant weekend. If not under brilliant skies, we'll have nearly 10,000 participants coming in to. And Parents Weekend is really funny. It's the weekend when the kids all want to be, you know, serious, and the parents don't. You know, and we tell the parents, no, 5 points is not for you. Just find something else to do. Buy your son or daughter an expensive dinner, you know, and go home early. No, they think they're at college for the weekend. On May the 17th, it is my 17th year at the University of South Carolina and starting my 8th year as president. And on September the, is it the 14th, the State of the University? Who might remember that date? Approximately September the 14th. And some of you were there, and some of you may have watched it streaming, but I did provide the State of the University address, an opportunity for me to be both candid and serious on one hand, especially with faculty colleagues and staff colleagues, but also spirited and celebratory with the general population, and try to be as upbeat as possible. And I mentioned at that time that we'll be brushing off our plan, our Focus Carolina, our strategic plan, and looking at 5 and 10 years ahead even. You know, 2025, I don't know what 2025 will look like in the United States or the world, the Middle East, South Carolina, but I think for USC we have to begin at least envisioning what our size will be, what our quality will be, and I believe, and I reiterated that our mission, I expect, will be the same, and I spoke about the four pillars, which I'll briefly reintroduce to you. I'm not overly taken with the term pillar, because it seems like you can't change a pillar, right? A pillar is, it's important because it's foundational. Maybe the word principle is better, because a principle, I think, can be modified, and a pillar maybe would have to be like, you know, hammered away or something. But, and the first, of course, is to continue to be known for providing a top quality education. I think that's what we are most about. If you ever had to sacrifice one of the principles, that would not be the one to sacrifice. The second is to continue to advance as a world-class university where faculty scholarship is impactful. The third is to continue to explore and develop innovative ways for college access and affordability. And I would argue that Palmetto College is front and center in Principle 3. And the fourth is to continue to seek ways to contribute to our state, our economic well-being. But let me go beyond that a little bit. I think the economic well-being is understood and taken maybe even for granted, which is fine. It ought to be. But also our social and cultural well-being. And in a state that experienced the tragedy that we did this past summer, it is important that all of us, all of our campuses, think about what our role is in creating a better South Carolina coming out of the still raw wounds, if you will, and healing that we still have to do. This summer we recruited and welcomed then a new Executive Vice President for Academic Affairs and Provost, Joan Gable. Welcome, Joan. And I know your colleagues here will have an opportunity to hear from you in a little bit. I couldn't be happier. Not an easy search because we've got a lot to offer, but you know, kind of the best people in the country generally are doing wonderful, impactful things somewhere else. They're not the ones who are kind of reading the landscape and saying, I think I could do something better there. But we were so fortunate to recruit Joan. We have across Palmetto College, we had over 5,200 students enrolled in Palmetto College in our, of course, four universities and in Palmetto College, South Carolina's public baccalaureate online completion program. That's a big number. It's not necessarily big enough or the number we want to arrive to or finish at, but 5,200 puts you in the upper echelon of universities in the state after you take out the top three or four, maybe five, I'm not sure about that, and so it is a robust number. And so within a few years' time, we've gone from this notion, and forgive me for resorting to state politics a little bit, but under Governor Sanford, well, why do we need them? don't we have too many colleges in the state? They're really small. Couldn't you save money by just doing a little surgical, you know, excision? To now, 5,200 students enrolled in Palmetto College comprehensively, and even more important maybe than the number is that you, I believe, are working together and working even more effectively than you ever have before. By the way, we're also working together more effectively at the comprehensive level with the universities in Aiken, Beaufort, and Spartanburg. I've appointed, as you know, Vice President for System Planning for the first time. Marianne Fitzpatrick, who's in the back of the room, is already working, and by the way, working not on hierarchical things very much or on who reports to whom, but on the collaboration. How can a great idea from Aiken, let's say, become one that permeates through all of the universities, including your own, by the way? We've never really spent a lot of time on that. We've spent more time saying, I'm important too. You know, I hear about what you're doing, but I'm doing something great too, which is appropriate. But what we're doing now is saying, let's put it all on the table. You know, let's put all the great things we're doing on the table, especially relative to student success, and see if we can adapt, modify, rearrange, or maybe even copy or mimic. So we're delighted to have Marianne here. By the way, of the 5,200 students, I would say, in case you don't know, that 1,452 individuals have been enrolled in the online baccalaureate completion programs. 385 have already received a baccalaureate degree. That's not the biggest number in the world, but I can pretty well tell you that that's 385 people who would not have a baccalaureate degree, unless you think they would have been here in Columbia or at the College of Charleston or at Winthrop or at Clemson. I highly doubt that. I think most of those individuals looked at the op. Now, some of them may have tried to pay a lot more at, you know, Strayer or Webster or the University of Phoenix, but as we know, the default rate on loans there is very high. The graduation rate at those places is generally low. I'm not, by the way, idly criticizing the work that they do. I think the teaching that goes on there is fine, but I think the cost is extraordinarily high. And so that's 385 individuals maybe who would have not had an opportunity for advancement in their profession or a better salary maybe, and also making more contributions to our state. We've also had more than 10,000 individuals take one or more online courses. 320 unique online courses already have been offered through Palmetto College. And throughout our whole system, of course, we are about 48,000 students now, by far the largest university in the state and one of the larger ones in the country. I don't know exactly. I would guess we'd be in the top 25, but I'm not sure about that. Top 25, top 35 in terms of enrollment. That's a lot of students. That is, as I tell the government officials all the time, that is as important as filling the potholes in the roads. I hope they would say more important, but that's for them to say. I'll say that's as important as deepening the port of Charleston, where all those BMWs go all over the world. I tell them that's as important as building a new prison, and I hope they begin to hear the, you know, the idea, well, maybe we'll need one less prison if we have more students who can get an education. And I don't like to say that's more important than providing adequate health care for those who don't have it, because, frankly, I don't believe that. I think those two things, providing more and better access to health care and more and better and affordable access to education, are the two things that will lead South Carolina forward, or will just, regardless of the current excitement and enthusiasm about Boeing and Volvo, in spite of that, without frankly, better education and better health care will slide back and be passed by every other state if we're not careful. I'm glad about the collaboration I see within Palmetto College. I know that USC Union and Aiken are working on the PACER pathway. I won't get into details here, maybe later. USC Beaufort and Salk in the Sand Shark Scholars Program. And I think we can look forward to more examples of that as well. We continued and completed a capital campaign, Carolina's Promise. Each of your campuses was engaged in it. I'll take a deep breath and tell you the final number. Okay, $1,043,265,730. Contributed by 136,850 unique donors, be they individuals, foundations, corporations, and other institutions. And I have to thank everybody for their engagement in that campaign. The problem, of course, is state government reads about that and says, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. We don't have an extra $1 billion, $43 million. And I say, we don't either. Well, what do you mean you just raised all that money? Well, of course, only a portion of that, about a third, by the way, comes in cash. Roughly about a third comes in a pledge that says, yeah, I will sign the piece of paper, and I'll maybe give you a little now, but you're going to get most of it later, so you can't use that money. And the third is in either equipment or land or building or what they call in-kind contribution, maybe services, like software is a good example. So, and then if you look at the cash, I would say about 90% of that is targeted to the expressed wishes of the donor. So if a donor, I think we had how many million-dollar donors, and I know for a fact that every one of those was targeted. Not one person, let's call it roughly 150 $1 million or greater gift. That's a lot of donors. Not one of them said, do whatever you want with it. Not one of them said, you know, give it to Palmetto College if you want, do anything you want with it. Now, there are, I believe, future donors who will say, this is for Palmetto College, but those donors would want, you know, a wing or a room possibly to be erected and named for them, or global travel fellowships, all very, very important things. So we do have to go back to government this year and tell them again that we're underfunded relative to our peers around the Southeast and certainly around the country, and probably that will be a, as I say every year, a two or three year journey with them to try to bring a conversation back about what last year we called fair funding and didn't go anywhere. You remember that. We said we won't raise tuition if you could just give us the equivalent of a 2.5% or 3% tuition increase, because we need that basically to keep up with utility increases and other inflationary escalators and things like that. And we called that fair funding. They didn't like that idea. It just seemed, I don't know why, it seemed a little too, you could figure out the word, too. No, we'll let you know when we're ready to, you know, provide funding for you. So this year, we're going to team up better than we have before with the business community. We will walk, if you will, metaphorically, you know, on the side, we'll walk in with a business or community leader and let them do the talking, and we'll be there as well. Hopefully that community leader is also a contributor to the campaign and someone who provides jobs in the local region, and we'll see if we can do better. So I'd like to thank our chancellor, Susan Elkins, who's the founding chancellor of Palmetto College, who continues her work. I think it's not a year and will not be a year to hang back, and even though I did congratulate you on the numbers early on, not where we need to be or want to be. And I'll end with this optimistic note. I do think state government, but certainly foundations and others, will meet us halfway if we come up with innovative ideas for educating more students at lower cost. So the things that, let me start with the things that won't sell in South Carolina in the General Assembly, you know, equipment, microscopy for faculty research, and I know that's something that we could use more microscopy, travel money for faculty conferences. I'm not going to get money for that. But as you, maybe even monies for new buildings. But when you start talking about a program that will reduce debt, that will help graduate students in less time, that will help them better prepare for careers and jobs, that will help keep them in South Carolina when they're through, I think there will be opportunities to receive funding. And when you think about it, that's really what Palmetto College does in the online sector, developing new baccalaureate pathways for which jobs exist. And that's what our Palmetto campuses have always done, really educated the young people who probably aren't thinking of going to New York City or LA. By the way, some do, and I'm delighted that they do, and they should continue to want to do that if they want to do that. But so many of them want to stay home but have a good pathway to a career. So I think it will be a great year. You know, I hope not to experience too many losing football games by the Gamecocks on a Saturday, because that is something that takes up way too much of my time. But it's great to be with you, and I'd be happy to pause for, with your permission, Henny, for any questions that you may have. Everything okay? Any good to see the deans, Ann and Mike and Walt and Alice I saw, and John Catalano and the other great. Questions? Anything on your mind at all? Eric? Nope. Nope. Shaking your hand. Okay. Sarah. Sarah usually has a question. No? She's good. Okay. Everybody good? Well, then thank you very much and have a wonderful meeting today, and let's stay close. All you need is love.
'Thank you, President Pastidis, for all you do for the university and for the college.' Last month, Ms. Joan Gable began her tenure as provost of the University of South Carolina. She comes to us from the University of Missouri, where she served as dean of the Trulaska College of Business. Please welcome Provost Joan Gable.
Thank you, Henny, and thanks to all of you. How am I supposed to follow the Beatles? I mean, come on, that's just not fair. I'm very, very happy to be here. Very much appreciate and value the way the university is organized and arranged to allow us to have the collective campus that we have, to have the opportunity for our students across the state to study where they are and to get the education that they need where they are, and now for them to finish all the way through. I actually went to what we would have called junior college when I was in high school and took courses. So did my husband. And, you know, we went on to finish our bachelor's degree, obviously, and to go on and do other things. But I remember sitting in class. I mean, this was, gosh, I haven't even told Susan this story yet, but this was, I don't want to admit how long ago, with people who were, where their lives had taken turns. They were finishing their education in different ways. They were nurses and police officers, and they wanted to get more. That my husband went back later to study Russian at the what was then DeKalb Community College, for those of you who know Atlanta, which is, I guess, now then became Georgia Perimeter College and is now part of Georgia State University. They've had quite twists and turns in the state of Georgia, as you all know, probably better than I do. So I have a lot of appreciation for what we're doing as a university and what you all are doing as members of the faculty and members of the leadership team, and I'm really looking forward to learning more and getting to know all of you. As the president mentioned, this is Parents Weekend, and I started the morning with the Parents Advisory Council, which is a very fun way to start the day. And when I spoke to them and was reflecting, they asked me to talk about what I'd noticed in my first month. And, you know, you notice a lot of things very intensely when you start a new job and you come on new. But one of the things that I really have enjoyed getting to know and really starting to be able to put in context, and you learn a lot of things and you read a lot of things, but then you meet the people behind it and the work that went into it and how things actually take shape, is that when the president says we have four pillars or guiding principles or whatever we ultimately decide to call them, that when we talk about student experience, we put it first. And when we talk about access and affordability and remembering our mission, we don't put it last. And those are really rather unique to see in partnership together, that in this very strange time that we find ourselves in with regard to funding, and this very strange time that we find ourselves in with regard to competitiveness and technologies and who we talk about as the threat, if you will, to what we hold dear and what we've invested our lives in, it's a very different conversation than we were having back in the day when I was sitting in a classroom in Dunwoody, Georgia, Clarkston, Georgia, and DeKalb Community College taking my classes. But and yet here we are, and we haven't lost sight of those core mission pieces. And I'm very glad to see that. And I'm very glad to see that as I learn context and meet the people and have conversations in the hallway or more formally, like something we're doing today, or that you're going to continue on and do with each other later today, that it really is more than just what you see in the trifold brochure that we put in a letter, you know, that we mail out somewhere. So I have really tried to drink a lot of the sip. I would say sip from the fire hose. I was going to say drink the Kool-Aid, but that makes it sound like what was happening when the Beatles were singing those songs. But drink from the fire hose and learn about what was going on. But I will apologize in advance that I still have a lot more to learn. But I'm hoping it won't, that it will go by very quickly, right? And that the next time we're together, it will be a remarkable improvement in my depth of understanding on the nuances of what you're trying to accomplish and the challenges that you're facing and the opportunities that you want to act upon and execute. And Susan and I already are meeting regularly, so I'm hearing a lot about what's going on. But I know I have more to learn. I don't have any illusions about how much more there is to know in order to be a good partner to you and a good advocate on your behalf and to learn from you as to what you're doing. But I make myself available to you. I can go through the whole speech about, you know, where I went to high school and that sort of thing. I'll spare you that. I figure if you care enough, that's all online. And just stop there and see if there's anything that you want to discuss specifically with me or any questions that you have for me. I'm not going to call on anyone this time. I might get while the getting's good then. All right. Thank you all very much. Enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you.
Thank you, Provost Gabel. I've had an opportunity to watch on action for just a smidgen, and I tell you, she's running from the starting blocks going. She is awesome. And we certainly look forward to working with you closely in the coming weeks and months and the years ahead of us. Next, we'll hear a report from our Chancellor, Dr. Susan Elkins. And Susan, are you going to introduce Dr. Elliott?
Yes. Okay. All right, thank you so much, Mr. Chair. And Madam Provost, hopefully you're still in earshot and can hear the huge thank you, but we'll send her the notes. It was really good to hear that Joan Gable had her first class when she was in high school as possibly a dual credit student, concurrent student. And I think all of you probably have heard my story. And one of the reasons that I'm so passionate is that I fondly say my first college class was in what we called the annex when I was a junior in high school. However, it was really just a double-wide trailer. So that drives the passion that I have for what we do, and it's great to hear that our new provost has that same passion for serving students at a young age and all across the state. Mr. Chair, thank you so much for the opportunity to speak for just a minute today. I do know that we are trying to certainly make our remarks a little bit more brief. So the deans and I will be very brief, and I have some handouts for you so that will eliminate the need to continue to say much. But I certainly would be remiss if I didn't begin by expressing appreciation to the president, even though he has has departed. I'll have to send him the notes to make sure he knows we bragged on him, because as Henny said, none of us would probably be here doing what we're doing in the way that we're doing if it weren't for the vision of President Pastides and the board to put Palmetto College together and to try to do everything he can do to support what once was the four regional campuses, now Palmetto College campuses, coupled with the online opportunities for students to earn a bachelor's degree without ever having to leave home. You know, one of my key questions when I came here was, you know, is the president of a Research One institution really deeply committed to this kind of a mission? Because as you all know, that's rare. But I can tell you, everything that I've seen day in and day out, Harris Pastides is as committed to the students that we serve as we are. And we'll always owe him a huge debt of gratitude. And again, it's great to see that the provost has that same mindset. She and I have met several times already, and I think she's very committed to learning more about who we are and what we're doing and to continuing to be an advocate for us. Also, I'd be remiss if I didn't thank the Senate Executive Committee. Thank you, Henny, for recognizing those members earlier this morning, but also the chair, Henny, and the way that we have a chance to work together. Two other folks that are probably outside, I don't know that I see them in here right now, but Miss Jean Carano and Miss Summer Yarborough. There's Jean, there's Summer. I've got to get my glasses on. But I think we owe these two ladies a huge round of applause for all the work that they do. Tell you what, if there ever was a dynamic duo, it is Summer and Jean. I mean, they feed off each other. They work so well together. And I know Jean primarily has these responsibilities now, but the two of them continue to just be so instrumental in the work that all of us do. They're behind the scenes, and we don't always see it, but rest assured, they do probably more than all the rest of us put together. So, Summer and Jean, thank you. Now, also, I know sometimes maybe you're tired of hearing me say thank you, but I feel like I can't ever say thank you enough. For all of you who give of your time and effort to do this work for the Senate, I mean, we all realize this is on top of your heavy teaching loads, the outstanding scholarship that you continue to be involved in. And I will tell you, I was so impressed from day one to see the amount of scholarly activity coupled with the heavy teaching loads. And then the service. I mean, you do a tremendous amount of service to the university, to your campuses, to your profession, to our communities. And I know all of that takes so much time and effort. But I also realize how many emails came across my desk this last week in preparation for this meeting. And I know that you all are constantly spending hour after hour on this work on behalf of all the faculty. And I don't think any of us can ever thank you enough for your work in this really important endeavor with the Senate. So again, thank you for your willingness to take on this particular responsibility. Now, my report this morning is going to just basically be three very brief items. And like I said, there are handouts on the table, so I won't go into detail on the report. But the very first thing we need to do is celebrate our successes for the year. And they are our collective successes. You know, President Pastides wouldn't have been able to stand up here and say we have over 5,200 students in Palmetto College. And that, folks, is not insignificant. Only USC Columbia and USC Upstate are larger in the USC system than Palmetto College. And we wouldn't be able to celebrate these successes if it weren't for the efforts of everybody, faculty, staff, students, administrators, everybody around the Palmetto College system. So I'm pleased that one of the things on the table for you this morning is just an executive summary of the blueprint goals. You all realize that the blueprint for academic success is our current strategic planning document. So instead of standing up here and actually doing a presentation that shares all our progress on the goals with you, you've got a one-page handout front and back. And this is not nearly everything, but it's a summary of all of the progress that we made in 14-15 on our goals. So take a look at that. And then actually this at lunch, You'll also have nice copies of a very well-produced, slick, first-ever inaugural annual report that also shares these successes in a very professional way that I think we can all be proud of as we talk about who we are with Palmetto College. We're having enough of these printed so that every person who's a member of the Palmetto College family can have one. They are not ready quite yet, but we'll be coming around to all the campuses and sharing copies of these so that everybody can have copies and share our story with your communities and with all the people who we certainly want to tell our wonderful story to. I will quickly say our three top priorities for this year are related to resources, and you can see at the top of that handout, you know, number one was to increase enrollment. You also heard the president say, while we have 5,200, that's not nearly as many as any of us want. But we did increase enrollment last year overall by 6%. That included a 37% increase in the online programs, and we also doubled the tuition revenue for the online programs. That's pretty good from one year to the next to double the tuition revenue. Our second priority, which always has to be at the top, and these two are related, maybe number two ought to have been number one, but having balanced budgets really has to be at the top of the list. And I know you all are tired of hearing me sometimes talk about enrollment and balancing the budget, but the last thing any of us ever want to see again is for one of our campuses to have a reduction in force. And I know two of the four campuses have had to experience that in the last 5 years. And if there is one thing we're all trying to do is make sure that never happens on our watch again. Kevin Russell is to be commended for his work as the chief financial officer here in Columbia now, trying to work with the campuses and with their chief financial officers as we all try to keep a much closer watch on what's going on with our financial situation. And, you know, we all know that the legislature is not giving us tons of money like they once did. They never gave us tons of money, but we've gone from, you know, 30-40% down to 10%. So if you don't realize the percentage that we're getting from the legislature, as a system, we're getting 10% of our funding from the legislature. That's what makes enrollment so important, because almost half of our funding comes from tuition and fees. Now, that's why enrollment and balanced budgets go hand in hand. So with that said, the third priority was to do everything we could do to generate as many gifts as possible last year with the Carolina's Promise campaign. And President Pastides maybe didn't have these figures in front of him, but we did an all-out-and-out effort last year. We raised over $1 million with the four Palmetto College campuses, thanks to the deans and their excellent work, and all of you who helped participate in the fundraising efforts. We have another $1.6 million pending, and during the total life of the campaign, we raised over $15 million. Now, that's a huge, huge accolades are very deserving for all who've been involved, and especially to the deans who've been out there working in each community. And again, the reason that these three items are at the top of the list is because they provide resources for you to do your job, and that's what we're all about. Now, moving along, regarding our Senate work together, my second item of the three is, again, you know, thanking you for the chance that we all have to work together on all the priorities of the Senate. This summer, we had the second annual Senate summer retreat. Had a great day working with the senators, the executive council, as well as the faculty organization chairs from each of the campuses came and were involved too. And the other handout that you have is just a summary. This was basically for me to try to help me get a handle on what are the priorities of the Senate. So after the retreat, I actually was very fortunate to get a chance to meet with each of the Senate chairs, as well as with Henny, one-on-one, to go over what are the priorities for each of the committees of the Senate. So this is a summary of the work for the Senate, and Melody has sections in her notebook too, and we'll work continually to try to make sure we can check some of these things off the list. But again, in efforts to be brief, I will not go through any of those items. Then finally, as we close, I have a couple of of people that I certainly need to introduce. And last year, I kept giving you updates on searches. One was the Joan Gable search. You've now met the new provost. A second search that was most important to us was the search for a new Palmetto College Executive Vice Chancellor and Chief Operating Officer. As Dr. Chris Plyler retired, we certainly were embarked upon a search to, as we said, I always say about others, Dr. Plyler can never be replaced, but somebody to take on a little bit of a new role, but in the shoes that he walked in for so many years. So we're thrilled to have Dr. Elliot Vitties with us now as our Executive Vice Chancellor, Chief Operating Officer. Elliot can stand up, and then I'll tell you a little more about him. Dr. Vitties comes to us from the University of Central Florida. You know, some little campus down in Orlando that, as Chris Bundrick knows, since he grew up in Florida. You know, when Elliot started working there over close to 30 years ago, they had about 12,000 students. Today, they have 61,000, many of those at off-campus regional campuses as well as at online. So Elliot was there for nearly three decades, serving in many roles, including faculty member in political science, chair of political science department, director of the interdisciplinary studies unit, and his last position was actually associate provost for undergraduate studies for that 61,000 students. So we're thrilled to have Dr. Vitties with us. I know you'll really enjoy working with him and get a chance to know him today. But let's give Dr. Vitties a big hand. And then the last quick introduction, another person sitting over here on my left that's been working with us in a part-time role with Human Resources is Ms. Victoria Hollins. Victoria, stand up just a minute. Victoria has a 30-year career in Human Resources with the Department of Labor and with a nonprofit organization that she helped start that actually distributed medications to the indigent all across the counties of South Carolina and expanded to a five-state effort. And she helped develop that effort from scratch, and she's done a great job helping us with HR. So, Victoria, we're also glad to have you. Now, with that said, that's probably not as brief as I should have been. But hopefully some key things that all of us need to know and celebrate as we begin our new year together. Thank you very much.
You know, no college or university would be complete without a cheerleader team. Susan, thank you for being our chancellor, but also thank you for being our top cheerleader. Now we're going to hear the comments and reports from the deans of the various campuses. We're going to start with Dr. Nesbitt. I'm going to ask the deans to introduce or to just announce any new faculty they may have attracted this year, also to announce any senators that they may have brought with them today, and also introduce any new senators. And if you're a new senator, would you please come forward as your name is called? Thank you.
Thank you, Henny, and good morning, everybody. Let me add my welcome to everyone here. It's great to see you. I saw many of you already this year at the Faculty Assembly and so forth, and some of you I haven't seen yet, so it's good to see all the... I see a lot of new faces. I look forward to getting to know you and some not-so-new faces, I guess. I was hesitating to say old faces, but you know, that's just one. I'll try to keep this brief. I've got some announcements and updates to provide to you guys. First of all, as you well know, assessment is an ongoing effort that falls under my responsibilities, and I want to thank the faculty members on each campus who represent the various specialty teams of the Carolina Corps that are meeting with the greater Columbia specialty teams to create rubrics and get that information out to the faculty who teach the classes for assessment. I know that it's still a work in progress. It's something that we haven't quite ironed out all the bumps and so forth yet, but we're working toward that, and these guys are working very hard on your behalf, and I want to thank them for that. They are the same as last year, and I'll just quickly let you know who they are, and know that when you get an email from one of these folks, pay attention to it. They're there to help you and to help you understand what your responsibilities are with assessment as a faculty member. This year we have AIU. I'm not going to read the Carolina Core outcomes. I'll just read the names of the faculty members. We have Nick Lawrence from Lancaster, Rebecca Hillman from Sumter, Suzanne Penuel from Lancaster, Melody Lynn from Extension University, Ron Cox from Lancaster, John Peek from Salkehatchee, Darris Hassel from Lancaster, Kajal Goshroy from Sumter, and Christine Reinhart from Union, representing us on the Carolina Core specialty team. So thanks to all of those folks. Once again, this year, I'm pleased that Palmetto College will be supporting the online course development grants program. An announcement will be forthcoming to all the faculty via email very soon. I would have liked to have had it out a little bit sooner, but the reason that we haven't been able to send it out is we have a faculty committee that's been working very hard to improve the application process for everyone. And I'm happy that they have done that, and we have a fillable PDF form that will come via the email along with some guidelines for the grants. And I think this will improve the process for everyone greatly. The members of that committee, Sarah Miller chaired that faculty committee. Aline Marie Effeli served on the committee. And Sherry Grosso also served on that committee as a faculty member. And Jean Carano provided some very important staff support. And was really a fourth member of the committee in many respects to help get that form done and those guidelines created. So thank you for that. Thanks to those folks very much. The deadline for the grants this year will be December 1st. That's the same as last year. And then announcements of winners will be made shortly after the new year. BLS-BOL updates. As of September 22nd, we have 223 students enrolled in the BLS program and 120 students enrolled in the BOL program. Those 343 students represent 8 more than last year. So we're kind of holding steady, but that's really wonderful news when you consider that this past spring we had 57 graduates. This summer we had 13 graduates. And we have 34 who have applied for December graduations. That's wonderful news. Thanks to everybody who works in the BLS-BOL program to make it a success. A quick update. I just want to let you guys know that the spring schedule for BLS-BOL is close to completion. And I've been working with the academic deans and division chairs on this, so I thank all of them for that. I think we have a very good schedule for the spring. It has a lot of offerings and a lot of different formats. And I mentioned that mainly because I wanted to let everyone know that this, we'll be working on the summer and fall schedules very soon, so before the end of the year. And that may be a little bit sooner than usual, but I think that's important to get that schedule done quickly as quickly as possible, so be on the lookout. And if you're interested in teaching a Palmetto class, contact your division chair or your academic dean or me. I'm always open to that. tenure and promotion. I was able to report at the Senate Executive Committee meeting a few weeks ago that all the candidates in this year's TMP cycle have received their external review letters before the deadline. And that, I believe, is the first time that that has happened for us. And I wanted to acknowledge the hard work that the candidates and their division chairs and or academic deans or deans put into that effort. And especially I wanted to also thank Jean Carano for her work in sending out reminders and following up with these folks and kind of managing that process so effectively. So thanks to all of you for that. That's a great accomplishment. Everything regarding the process for this year's cycle seems to be on track. We will have a training session again for the electronic TMP system on October 30th. So some information about that will be forthcoming. Finally, I get to report, this is my favorite part, on the TMP results from 2015. In accordance with the faculty manual, after the Board of Trustees concludes its role in the tenure promotion process, a report shall be generated by the Office of the Palmetto College Chancellor, which is to include the recommendations of each level of review from unit reviewers up through the Board of Trustees. Report will be as complete as possible while protecting the confidentiality of each candidate. Report should be presented at the first fall meeting of the Palmetto College campus's Faculty Senate. Okay, so of the three assistant professors who applied for tenure and promotion to associate professor, three were awarded tenure and promotion by the Board of Trustees. Of the four tenured associate professors who applied for promotion to professor, all four were awarded promotion by the Board of Trustees. In all instances, there was 100% agreement of the decision between the chancellor and the provost, and 100% agreement in those decisions between the provost and the president. The tenure and promotion class for 2015, from USC Lancaster, Fernanda Burke, professor of biology and chemistry, received tenure and was promoted to associate professor. At Stinnett University, professor of English, Julia Elliott. At USC Salkahatchee, professor of math, Brian Lye. And for those who were promoted to full professor at USC Sumter, professor of English, Mary Ellen Belanca. USC Lancaster, professor of English and French, Walt Collins. Also at USC Lancaster, professor of history, Ron Cox. And at USC Union, professor of English, Denise Shaw. And I would like to ask if you guys would give those folks a round of applause at this time. Extended University Dean's Report, I just want to just kind of acknowledge some faculty news here because I don't want to take up more time. Julie Elliott, who was recently awarded tenure, as you just heard, has a novel that will drop, as she puts it, on October 1st. The new and improved Romy Fudge. I have to be careful on that one. This semester, Julie was awarded sabbatical, and she's touring to promote her book and also doing some more writing. She has a story called Bride that was selected by the T.C. Boyle for Best American Short Stories, also out in October. So she's doing great work. Janet Hudson continues in her role as a Faculty Associate Director for Innovative Teaching at the USC Center for Teaching Excellence. She had an article recently in the USC Times. You may have heard her presentation at the Faculty Assembly on that subject. Mary Yelm is working with many of the folks in this room on the Association of Carolina's Emerging Scholars Conference. So I want to acknowledge that. And Melody Lynn has recently edited a journal forum on Southern Archives for the Carolinas Communications Annual and was invited as a keynote speaker for the September meeting of the Heritage Ladies in Pawleys Island, South Carolina. That was a hard gig, wasn't it? And she presented her research on First Lady Pat Nixon's international diplomacy. So great work from all of our faculty. This year, Melody Lynn, as you know, and is serving on our as our executive committee representative from Extended University. And I'd like to recognize our senators this year, Professor Dawson Jones and Professor Patrick Saucier. We also have a new senator, but unfortunately, he had some health issues at the last moment and won't be here. So we will maybe recognize him next time. That's Professor Orrin McKay. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Nesbitt. Now we hear the report from Dean Walt Collins, USC Lancaster.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Summer and Jean, for all your work, Dr. Elkins, for hosting us today. I have a few points that I'd like to point out at things that are happening at USC Lancaster. We're just over 1,700 in enrollment for fall, and we're looking forward to enrolling a few more into that headcount number as fall 2 or second 8 weeks gears up on October 19th. We are also serving approximately 130 BOL and BLS students on our campus who most of you know don't count in our headcount number, and about 47 Bachelors of Science in Nursing students as well. A few, just a couple of announcements as far as upcoming events on our campus. We are opening our BSN Nursing Simulation Lab this fall semester, and on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, we'll have a donor preview. Much of the support, financial support for that laboratory came from foundations, and so we're excited to show that off to the donors on Tuesday, and then we'll have a campus and community event to show off that new laboratory October 8th from 4 to 5:30. So we're excited about that upcoming event. We've also announced the date of our annual scholarship luncheon, which occurs in November usually every year, so, and this year it's November 12th. And that's behind commencement, that's one of the most important events on our campus. We're excited about that. You heard a little bit about the Carolina's Promise campaign. USC Lancaster's total it was $7.5 million, so we're very proud of that. Much of that was part of our capital campaign, our 50th anniversary campaign to build Founders Hall. So we're excited where we ended up on that. I'll have my full report sent to the secretary, which will be included in the minutes. There's a lot more good information in there, especially about our faculty accomplishments and other things about the campus. But let me now introduce our senators for this academic year, and I'll start with our continuing senators. They are, if they could stand, please, Fernanda Burke, John Catalano, Ernest Jenkins, Andy Yingst, Chris Bundrick, and these are our new senators. A couple of these are filling unexpired terms, and then three of them are completely new and have three-year terms. So Susan Cruz, Suzanne Penuel, Jason Holt, Dana Lawrence, and Stephen Criswell. Thank you. Do we want the new ones to come down? So just the new ones, if you could come down. So that would be Susan, Suzanne, Jason, Dana, and Stephen. And while they're making their way down, I'll introduce a new faculty member who is not a senator, but who has joined us today to see what Senate is all about, and maybe a future senator, Dr. Angela Neal. If she could stand, please. Assistant Professor of Psychology, just joined our faculty in August and came from the University of New Hampshire. Welcome, Angela. That concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Dean Collins. Next, we'll hear the report from Ann Carmichael, Dean UC Sakahatchee.
Thank you. I'm going to start by introducing our Senate delegation, and I'm going to start with our continuing senators. If you will please stand, Lee Kai, Rodney Stewart, Aaron Kilpatrick, Brian Lai, Samuel Downs, Fidel Naguani, John Peek, and Brian Love. And our new senator, I have to say that with a smile, is Sarah Miller. Okay. Yep. You want to go ahead?
Come on, Sarah.
Okay, preliminary fall enrollment figures are positive. I'll have a definitive number at our next meeting, but we anticipate close to 1,100 students, and in addition to that, about 200 that are either enrolled in some of the comprehensive programs or in Palmetto College. So roughly 1,300 students that will be served on our campus. We also are very pleased that in our first year in the off-campus housing complex, the Reserve, it is 90% full, and we're thrilled with that as a first year, so wanted to share that. In terms of scholarship, congratulations, commendations to Dr. Tom Bragg, whose book, Space Narrative in the 19th Century Historical Novel, has a expected publishing date of fall 2016, so congratulations, Tom. We have two faculty searches underway for the coming year in computer science and foreign language. And we are ending the celebration of our 50th anniversary with several major events. These will all be on October 23rd and 24th. We have art shows. We have plays. We have a social featuring the East Coast Party Band, thanks to the Savannah River Nuclear Solutions sponsorship. So we'd love to have you come. I have some information. I'd love to have you on campus. And we'll be putting all of those events online today. And then finally, we are very pleased to have something that I think will commemorate and also provide a historical perspective and give us something for our archives, and that is our 50th anniversary book that is going on sale today in our bookstore. And I have asked, if you will give me permission, Henny, to do this, I've asked Sarah Miller and Rod Stewart, who are the authors of this book, to make a special presentation. So.
Dr. Elkins, if you come up here. I'm going to stab you now.
What goes around comes around.
We are very proud of this celebration of 50 years of Salkehatchie. So what we've put together here is a what I like to call a history book with a lot of pictures. Or for those of you that doesn't sound real interesting, it's a picture book with some history in it. So we're very proud of this, and we'd like to present it to you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you, Rob. Thank you for your great work.
Thank you, Dean Carmichael. Next, we'll hear from my boss, Dean Michael Sontag, USC Sumter. Please treat him nicely.
Thank you, Henny. I often think of the faculty as my boss, so I'm glad you refer to me that way. I apologize. I didn't realize that I was going to name the existing or sitting senators, and if I'm looking right, I've got a list here, so that's great. That works for me. So our existing senators are Robert Castleberry, Ray McManus, Kajal Goshroy, Steve Bischoff, and then our two new folks, Mary Ellen Belanca, newly promoted to professor. I think you're supposed to stand up. And Blaine Da Silva, and I'm not sure where Blaine is today.
Contacted me as a medical situation.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that. Did you want to come up front now? We also have two new faculty who I don't believe are with us today. Wanda Fenimore joined us in speech. She has a PhD from Florida State. And Damian Picarillo joins us in political science with a PhD from the University of Michigan. And those two are off and running and doing great things already on our campus. We're very excited to add those two faculty to our already great faculty. We've had a lot going on. I'm going to try to keep it brief, or I will go fast, whichever works for us today. In terms of students and athletes, I'm sort of breaking these up into those different sections. On August 24th, we held our opening convocation, and we were very pleased to have as the speaker there Christopher Floyd, who is a poster child for Palmetto College. He graduated with a BOL degree and now works as an official at BD Industries, one of the largest employers in Sumter. So a wonderful representative of what you can do with a Palmetto College degree. and helping us build some needed relationships with local businesses, particularly BD, an internship program that we hope will pay off for us all in the future. On September 11th, we had our awards day for 2015. We recognized over 40 students, faculty and staff who had demonstrated exceptional performance and gained a recognition over the past year. I'll quickly mention that Fran Castleberry, who is Robert's better half, for the record, make sure that it's noted he clapped so that we can show her that. Fran, she does a lot of stuff on our campus and is always cheerful, and she won the Outstanding Staff Award. Dr. Ray McManus, who's not here today, was the recipient of the Student Government Teacher of the Year Award, and our own Dr. Henny Van Bulk was the recipient of the Outstanding Faculty Award. And these are all very well-deserved honors, and I was pleased to announce them and celebrate that with them. Another big news item on our list for the last year and since we last met was our baseball team. Fire Ants baseball team has been in existence about 7 years. I think that is, Eric, right? About 7 years. With the coach that we have now, Tim Medlin, he is beginning his third year. In his first 2 years, he's done amazing things, and last year was really outstanding. We won the Region 10 regular season championship title. We were runners-up in the Region 10 tournament. We won the Eastern District tournament and a trip to the JUCO World Series in Colorado. We didn't win in Colorado, but we went, and that's a historic event for Sumter. That was outstanding. Last week, we had a celebratory barbecue for the team. The mayor issued a proclamation declaring September 18th as USC Sumter Fire Ant Baseball Day. We got a lot of press from that. Coley Bowers, who is of Lexington, South Carolina, was named Pitcher of the Year at the Region 10 tournament, and now he's part of the number 2 ranked recruiting class here at USC Columbia on their baseball team. Outstanding young man. And Coach Medlin, who I mentioned is in his third year now with us, he won 3 Coach of the Year awards throughout all of those events last year. Impressive job by our baseball team. In terms of faculty and staff accomplishments, we have, as we always do, some outstanding publications and accomplishments on the faculty side of things. Dr. Bob Costello has an article in press, The Analysis of a Blade Core for Topper Site 38A123, Allendale County, South Carolina, in South Carolina Antiquities. I honestly don't know what that means, but it sounds cool. And I want to catch him and say, what is that all about? Dr. Kajal Goshroy, who is with us today, has been involved in research entitled Analysis of Plant Responses to Titanium Dioxide Nanoparticles, which I think I do understand a little bit after talking with Kajal, has won 2 awards in August at the Joint International Meeting of the Microscopy Society of America and the Microanalysis Society of America. And I was disappointed to hear President Pasidi say we won't get money for microscopy, but we'll keep working on it, Kajal. Dr. Ray McManus, his book that I've mentioned in the past, his book of poetry, Punch, recently won a gold medal from the Independent Book Publishers, which is a real honor. He has a poem, Hurricane Season Inland, published in Fall Line, summer 2015, and he had a media appearance on Wordplay with Ed Madden of Asheville Public Radio. So exciting things going on in the faculty realm. And my apologies if I missed anything that didn't get to me. We'll announce that next time if I missed something. On campus, we've been planning for about a year, and it's coming together. We're going to have a piano recital by Andreas Klein, a German pianist that has played for us in the past. It is really outstanding. That is scheduled for September 29th. At noon and at 7, and you're all welcome to attend. It's free to the public. We hope you'll come. We're trying to make it a big event. We'll have a reception after the 7 o'clock show. So, if you're looking for some culturally enriching entertainment, please join us. Finally, in terms of budget and enrollment, we raised $3.83 million. Of the $3.85 million goal that we had set for ourselves in the campaign, so we got very close. When the president put up the $1,043 million, I went, that's our three. on there. We received a $1 million increase in funding from the county, which is the first in a long time. We currently get a $1 million, and we've increased that by another mill, and we're very excited about that. I just got my tax bill, and it wasn't on there, and I was distraught, and I understand it will show up on our property tax, not on our vehicle tax. So it's coming, Henny. It's coming for a good cause. Our enrollment currently is 885, which is up from last year a bit. But we're still counting, so stay tuned for that. And I think that concludes my report. Have I forgotten anything? No? Good. Thank you.
Thank you, Dean Sontag. Next, we'll hear from Dean Ellis Taylor-Calbert, USC Union.
Good morning. I'm going to start with our senators. We don't have any new senators this time, but we have some senators with us today. Ella Mariafelli, want to stand up or raise your hand or something. Christine Sixta Reinhart, Maggie Aziz, and Randy Lowell. So wonderful folks, and they all have been doing research that I could report on. But, Henny, I'm going to allow you to put that in the minutes of the meeting. Rather than to read all of their amazing accomplishments. And Dr. Lowe is here as well, and he has an accomplishment. So please read in the minutes. it's all scholarship that's going on. We are also celebrating our 50th anniversary this year at USC Union, but we started it in August, and we're going to go through the academic year because our institution started classes in the fall of 1965. So our first event was actually an art show by Christine Sixta Reinhart at our local Union County Arts Council. So we're excited about that. Also, we have Founders Day coming up October the 9th. Would love for you to come and join us for that day to celebrate our 50th anniversary. We're going to have a lot of famous people there. And one of the most delightful famous people is the one who is receiving the Founders Day Award, a woman named Ms. Barbara Rippey. And she's famous because she was recently on the television. She won the Caring for the Carolinas Award in major part because of what she has done for USC Union. She gave us $25,000 for our bookstore, $25,000 for our student center, $100,000 for our student center courtyard, to name it, in honor of her deceased husband, Dr. Bobby Rippey. And Jack Roper, who was on that television station, is a Union native, and you should have seen the two of those folks talking as she got that award. So anyway, come and join us for that special day, October the 9th, 11 o'clock in our auditorium. Also wanted to mention that the Student Success Center that our legislator, Mike Anthony, helped us get funding for from the state has opened with an interim until we can find a full-time director. And a beloved member of our community and the wife of a former USC Union dean, Ms. Packy Whitener, has given us a leadership series endowment to be able to have programming to help our students be successful in as many ways as possible. And in a beautiful irony, one of Colonel Whitener's mentees, if you will, is going to lead that first workshop for us this fall. A West Point graduate, and we're excited about that, Isaac McKissick. And that's all I'm going to say for now. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alice. That concludes the administrative reports. We're now going to break up into groups. The meeting rooms, I understand, if you go straight to the end of the hall and make a left and then make a second left, the rooms will be there. Rights and Responsibilities, room 368. Welfare 367, Systems Affairs 366, Executive Committee 365. The deans will meet in room 364. Lunch will be served at 12 o'clock on the rooftop pavilion. I hope that's not on top of the roof, but underneath the roof, room 510. And then we'll meet back here again this afternoon for the afternoon session. Thank you all.
Thank you.